Welcome once again to BakudaCast. I'm here, joined with my co-hosts, Gav and Craig. How are you guys?
Hey, hello.
How's it going?
Yeah,
it's going good. Well,
thanks. So,
were you asking us or the audience?
Everyone.
Yeah, who are you asking, Craig?
you know how I'm doing.
Yeah.
I hope everyone's doing well.
Good. Ask we all share.
Yeah,
indeed. So we've got a lot of content to talk about. There's been a huge number of releases over this Gen Con period. Absolute plethora of new profiles, an entire new faction, a new starter set, a new wave of releases. Probably adds up to near on 30 new profiles and a whole load of new cards and themes and all sorts. So, Lots going on in the world.
Would you say it's an overwhelming amount of stuff, or a welcome deluge of stuff? Do you feel overwhelmed?
Would you feel like not necessarily? You've
walked into the living room on Christmas morning, and you've just got this massive pile of presents to unwrap, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to take my time, savor it. Or is the pile of presents going to topple over and crush you and ruin your Christmas day?
So I think the difference here will be clearly shown by our knowledge level is that Craig's been the kid that's gone down at 6 in the morning, ripped all the presents open, had a good look at them, played with them, whereas I'm like, I've had a look at the first one, enjoyed it, and I'll get on to the next one when I'm good and ready.
How can you be polar opposites when you're twins? I don't understand.
Because we're different people still.
Has it rewrapped the presents carefully so nobody knows?
Darren's a biologist, but I'm pretty sure there's something about genotypes and phenotypes and another thing. I think it was Adepticon that's all come out, but yeah, it's there's a lot to digest, as you say. But we'll do something kind of high level just to catch up, really. But probably best just to start, like, what everyone's been up to.
So just to clarify, Darren's calling Craig a SWAT. But that's fine. We'll rely on you to steer the conversation and remind us of things that we...
Ish.
Or correct us when we're wrong about something. That would be nice. Nothing wrong with a SWAT.
I will try. I have been trying to study the new stuff, but I think there is a lot to digest and we haven't really played for it all yet. So it's kind of first takes.
It's worth noting that the new starter set, I'm sure it's very well known by a lot of people that play Bushido, but just in case, they are all Ronin models, which can go into different factions. So actually, it really impacts the game on quite a few levels with a new faction with the Void Monks and also a load of new Ronin for every faction that's got at least something new and exciting to talk about, basically.
Indeed, yeah. And I think they kind of balance that out also with Wave 5, which gives a lot of the established factions some genuine faction models to include. So, there's a lot... a lot going on, and I'd be surprised if anyone's sitting there thinking they haven't got anything out of this. Not necessarily got everything they want, but something new for most factions, it seems, if not all.
Which is good to see, actually. I can definitely not say the same about some of the other games I play, so I believe it's all very exciting.
I don't think there's a single sort of model in the lot that I'm looking at going, oh, I don't like that.
And just on your opening question, Gav, I guess it kind of feels to me anyway like we've been waiting for releases for some time, and I understand that there's been delays and things on logistical and operational and whatever fronts, but not that we're privy to any of that, but like, you know, there's been delays and it kind of feels like a lot's come at once, but it's probably because there's been a bad log. So it's kind of like, feel like we've been rewarded in a way for sticking with it for so long and enjoying all the back catalogue, but it's good to get the new shiny.
Yes. And I think, I mean, to be fair, I suppose I came to the game slightly late certainly like a year or more later than you picked it up. So I had an awful lot of catching up to do before, yeah, new stuff came out, and I never really kind of felt like I've totally caught up. But now, yeah, it's kind of, I've just about caught up and kind of pretty much know what every archetype does, and then wham, new meta. which is fun, you know, I'm not complaining.
Yeah,
but sadly I did miss out on pre-ordering the Void Monks and the starter set just for cash flow reasons. So I've ordered some of the Wave 5 stuff, but I'll have to wait for the general release for the other stuff. Definitely will get it, but, you know, it's the same on that initial bandwagon, you know?
Yeah, I did the same with the starter set. I really, really wanted them, but I was like, the Void Monks I preferred, and I was like, that's a nice self-contained force I can have some fun with, and then I'll hopefully pick up the new starter set later on in the year when it's regularly available, and can have fun with it then.
Well, let's jump into I just jumped into all of it. not all the way five.
What did you miss out on, Craig? That's what we want to know now.
The one we're going to start with is Satu Togai. So that's a new prefecture model. And as one of the very few factions that we don't have represented commonly is prefecture, even though a few of your locals do play it, Darren. But that's a new hair clan model, so that's quite exciting. And it seems like a fairly competent like samurai with some ranged tricks. So I can imagine that's going to be popular. And immunity far is pretty relevant right now, with far just coming in from the Void Monks and other places. It looks pretty good, and it's something a bit different for the prefecture from the standard samurai.
So
though I have not picked that one up, I can see why some people would be quite interested in it.
I was very close to picking it up because I just think the model's great, and I love those kind of really esoteric kind of eastern weapons that are just a bit weird. you're looking at it going, like, how does that work? Surely you can swing it. Gonna like make you fall over, but then that's just kind of what's awesome about it. It's like the harder a weapon is to use, the cooler the guy is that can use it, right?
And he's got a lot of good abilities on the back of that weapon.
You can definitely see how the sort of, you know, holding one side of the chain and swinging the other, you get a hell of a lot of momentum. It's like a giant flail, which is really nice. He's almost like Hitokuchi was for me. Like, he was the faction sort of starter for that one model that you buy because you like, and then all of a sudden, god damn it, you're collecting the whole faction. He's almost that for prefecture for me, because I really like him, and I nearly bought him, and that would have tipped me into prefecture. So nice try, GCT. Very close.
Another day, almost. Though, I'm sure they'll get you.
Another day, another model, maybe another one of these, so you could have two of them.
I really like the fact that it's so different, and agree that the weapon is just really unique and looks cool. So definitely a great model, and looks like it's got quite an interesting profile as well. So yes, good.
I can't really comment because I don't play prefecture. So it's hard to judge, like, just looking at his profile in isolation. Like, is he worth it for the rice? I mean, he looks good, but I don't know in the context of the faction whether he's, yeah, there are just better choices for the rice.
I couldn't say either.
No.
I will say,
yeah, though, it looks like he's got some utility.
I can talk a little bit about Botan being a, you know, temple player. I think he's really cool. I think I'm pretty sure no one's going to disagree that the model's really cool, and the which profile one, Botan? Yeah, the monk who yeah, far Botan. Monk mm. oh well far like far and air
yeah
so yeah just I think profile wise really interesting, just a very fast monk that can actually do some damage. Feels to me like could be useful for objectives, although there's wind monks which are probably more specialized in that area, but the fact that he can also go and hunt down enemy support characters, I think, could be interesting anyway. I'm sure there's other things he could be doing, but he feels like he's got that mobility combined with a reasonable punch that he could act in that role. So yeah, it looks really cool.
I mean, he was kind of previewed early on the Beers podcast and by Jason, so we've kind of known about him for some time. He does seem like a kind of trade out potentially for Kira because he's kind of similar rise cost.
Yeah,
and he definitely has a lot more punch.
He's definitely the one I had in mind when I said about the Wind Monk, someone who's better at scenarios is probably her. But she's still very good. She's got actually got a really good throw attack. But he can actually like beat someone up, which is quite interesting and quite a good addition to monks. I think always adding a little bit of bite to them does help, in my opinion.
A little bit of damage output, a little bit of damage output goes a long way with monks. I personally, I'm a bit more worried of Akira normally because of her scenario play, but I haven't played into this guy yet, but definitely monks doing damage is
I really like that he's got you know, he can boost for two on his melee and his movement. And Blazing Maelstrom, just for two key. I mean, given the fact that you can move key around, you know, like Moment of Enlightenment, you know, Garintos and stuff, you can pump him up with key quite easily. Given his rep range, so you pop Blazing Maelstrom, and he's like, you know, that's a 12-inch charge straight away. And he's getting fire strength and fire bonuses. You stick like a fire cami on him as well, give him some extra that stack, right? Because the fire is plus one. So you can really buff him up, and it's not even about the damage that he does when he goes in. It's like, well, he's projecting that 12, well, potentially more because he's got the key, so he can boost his movement as well. So you've got 12, 13, like 14, 16 inch like charge range on someone that's actually going to hit you quite hard. I really like that. It's a bit like, you know, the whole sort of tacky Maseru play. It's like, it's less about what they actually do. It's what they've got the potential to do that actually really helps you drive your game with Temple.
He can boost because he's got a max key limit of 6. So he can only get his move up to 7. So he's got 14. But it's still pretty...
But it depends on the rest of your positioning and what you've got in terms of like channel and stuff, you know. So you can...
Well, no, he's got max key limit 6, which is quite low for a monk.
Oh, yeah, for a monk it is, yeah. Well, no, not for a monk. I think it's only masters that go like 8, 9, 10.
Oh, okay.
But monks are generally 6.
But yeah, well, it's still very good. And I think like Kira still has more mobility because of dash. But he is very fast still, but more in a kind of like missile kind of way. So yeah, so it's kind of weird. They're kind of similar, but they seem to do quite different things on the table.
Yeah.
Though they're able to kind of replace each other at the same time.
I think so. I think, well, they're definitely fighting for that 14 rice slot. So there's bound to be competition and both have got Cloud Walk potentially. But yeah, no, really, really cool.
I think it's going to be good against Bakumono as well, just because, as you said, like sometimes you just need someone who can beat down the numbers a bit and he can like tokens generally are pretty bad for Bakumono because they just don't have many wounds, so he can leave a couple of fire tokens down, and that certainly will help finish them off. I could see him being quite handy in that kind of way.
I think it's a really good shout.
He's got his range in his fire. Sorry, Darren, go on.
I was going to say, so I think it's a really good shout the fact that he actually has plus one fire token. It's really, really interesting in a way, because most of the time I think the other monks just get 1-1 normally, or 1-2 or something. And it's a fact, you're right, he does synergize actually with a Far Kami, which most of the time I find a monk of that element doesn't necessarily synergize well with the same Kami of that element. Whereas he actually does, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Actually, sorry, Gav, I see what you're saying about his movement being able to go up to 16, because you go for Blazing Maelstrom, gives you plus 2, and then you boost it twice.
Yes.
I'm with you now.
And then you've got this flaming missile coming at you going, I thought my back lines are safe. It's like,
to be honest, 16 on the Bushido table is pretty much wherever you want. Most of the time.
But it's the fact that that is your threat range, right? So you're not, you know, you're not safe, and you know you don't want to be pumping it all in. You know, if you can just pump like say 2 key in for a movement boost, and the other 4 key that you've got, you know, what I say, 2 for Blazing Maelstrom, 2 for a movement, and 2 for an extra combat dice. That's like, and you can easily sort of channel 6 key to him. I'd like potentially running him with Hataru, because she quite often, because of her impetuous, like she charges in like, you know, like the bullet she is. Maybe does some damage if you're lucky, right? But then is completely exposed and on her own. Whereas if you've got Botan there as well, then anybody that wants to counter charge Hataru is then going to be exposing themselves to Botan then coming back in. So you've got that kind of trade, which, you know, I think is interesting. You know, if that's going to dissuade people from then counterattacking Hataru and give you another crack of the whip with her, it might be a decent synergy. Something I want to try anyway. And of course, there's loads of fire that you're putting out then as well. So
you're putting a lot of fire out that, at that point. I mean, Hataru's always seemed like a good kind of similar kind of missile, but very cheap and affordable for what she does. And whether she's slamming you around with some certain upgrades or just doing lots of damage, seems to always be.
I mean, I'd be worried, you know, about the tag team of Hataru and Botan, like, you know, running down your throat. It's not. It's going to put you on the back foot, isn't it? So
So he is a model that you can see yourself taking.
Definitely. I mean, I've ordered him. I will paint him, and I'll try him, and we'll see how it goes. Because you can I'm just thinking about virtues and Ico's fire. If you put a virtue on him, it gives him +1 strength, but it's just fire 1/1, so that wouldn't stack, unfortunately. Because yeah, it'd be nice to just load a monk up with like all the fire in the world.
Once you start looking at the virtues and the karmies and all the other things they can do, like air karmies and things like that, and suddenly it's like even far coming and so on. You can do a lot of cool stuff with them. Well, that's good. Satsuko, if we can move on. I think we've covered in a prior podcast. So if anyone wants to hear 20-30 minutes or so on her, then just look back in our catalogue and you'll have more detail there. Probably one thing I would add that's come out of various discussions on Discord, it seems like she probably can help you with control tokens a bit more. So that's good. Another one, which I guess I'll hand over to you to being the leading young players. I just dabble in Ryujin, really. Musa, what do you make of him?
You've got a lot more Jung experience than... Sorry, Jung. Is it Jung?
Jung or Jung? I've heard both.
Jung. Yeah. Okay. Jung. You've got more... gameplay experience, which, although the last game I played I did run Jung and beat you, so
what, with the sharks?
Didn't I beat you with the sharks, or was it a draw?
No, I beat you. I won.
Did you?
It's the opposite.
How did that, because I like hit a Kikuchi in the last turn was on like 10 activations or something.
Yeah, I remember the lone swordsman passed his fear test and killed his Hitakushi.
Oh, did he? Oh, I must have blanked that. That was it. It was like one of those, oh yeah, I need a 6 to pull this massive defeat.
That was a 5.
I'm just going to roll 1 dice. Oh, it's a 6. Never mind.
It was a 5, but yeah.
But anyway, so the last time I ran shot, I should have won. I should have won that game. They did all right. That was the Jobin show, wasn't it, where he was shooting people and Hitakuchi was eating them. And Arata, it was really good.
No, it's good. It's good to see the sharks in action, and I got a lot more respect for their gameplay now.
You should have a lot more respect for their gameplay after that.
Yeah,
yeah.
They were.
Musa.
I think the URA guys did pretty well that game. They,
yeah.
But sorry, back to Musa. Yeah.
Back to Musa. Yeah. So, and I've ordered him, of course. Another Kaizoku. I don't know. There's nothing really that I'm excited about. I do like his brutal +1. It's always nice to have a bit of brutal. And for only 1 key, that's nice. I don't know. I haven't really tried enough Jung lists out, really, to be thinking, oh yeah, well I know exactly sort of which build and which model I'll be swapping out to try them out. But,
yeah, he's at an interesting rise cost, I think, for 12.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, you know, you're used to your usual cheap guys at 8 rice. And then there can be a bit of a gulf before you kind of go up a level and get some slightly more skilled fighters. So
I can see him kind of fitting in. He's quite an interesting one for Docks of Ryu in particular, but he's a really offensive Kaizoksu, which is something they just don't normally do. They're normally, you know, dodging away and trying to tie people up, and that's great and everything, but sometimes you need a hitter, and I think for 12 rice I think he can be that guy. I think he needs set up, like he needs to make sure he goes in when the enemy's kind of tired or outnumbered, so that his aggressive doesn't get in the way, and then he wants to basically be there putting most of his dice in attack, I imagine, and using that brutal combo attack zero on the 12 rice model is pretty phenomenal, in my opinion. So again, another way to get rid of things like Kami, things like that, which are a pain. So, you know, him alone, he could probably get rid of most Kami, I imagine, fairly quickly. I have a feeling he's going to be more impactful than you think, just look at his profile, because he does have some disadvantages.
I think he's
for sure
pretty important. I think he's pretty important for the meta, though. I think because he's, like I say, he fits into a few of the themes. He benefits from being a Kaizoku, so he's kind of deceptively good, though the aggressive trait does mean he might not stay around that long. But I can see like working pretty well in a few of the themes. Because he'll go in Black Sails, won't he? So that's where you get an extra activation counter.
He'll go in every theme, won't he? I don't know if it's a theme you wouldn't go in.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, and then did you say the docks? Docks of Ryu? So,
yeah, I mean, with that, I think he could get strong, right? If he wanted to. Can you imagine a 12 rice model with combo attack, strong, brutal, plus one strength?
From Minoto.
Yeah, you know, you add all that up, and that's a real heavy hitting 12 rice model.
Yeah.
You have to get the enemy, though, I think, in a position where they're like, they're probably prone, outnumbered, you know, maybe on fire.
Yeah.
And then that's when he comes in to shine.
Queens of the Wave sounds pretty good, just where you get them in the back, kind of flank him on, get them in the back. Yeah, so I can kind of see, like you say, it sort of synergizes quite well with a lot of the other models in the faction. So, yeah, you could sort of see some of the captains bringing out the best in him. Is it Young Marie who does the whole group activation thing?
That sounds pretty good for him. And is it Jory? Is he the guy that can inspire? So that could be another good way to get a bit more out of him. I definitely think timing's important, basically, though. Like, if you're using like a normal Kaizotsu, he'll be terrible in the sense of normally they're there to just get in the way.
He's a kind of finisher model, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think combo attack's pretty relevant given there just seems to be more Kami and durable things that you have to potentially deal with. So I think that's pretty relevant to the game. And Ren seems pretty good. Just get the attacks in with the extra strength. So yeah, it seems like a good potentially a hit punches above his weight for a while, but can't defend very well. So, you know, I can imagine taking out a model or two with that before suddenly you become unstuck and someone gets him in return.
Yeah, it'd be awful.
But by then, he's probably done 12 rice. So, yeah. Okay, cool. So it sounds like you both are interested in that model.
The model itself, I'm a bit more unsure about in a way. But it's just a bit different, basically. I'd like to see it in person, because it's got such a unique pose to it, I suppose. But it looks cool. I definitely excited to see it.
Cool. So next is Jinchi. So that's new North Star Ninja, which I have actually picked up just because I painted up Axiom after our episode on Axiom. Kind of felt like that was the thing I needed to do.
Yeah, the right thing to do.
Yeah. And I'm pretty excited about this guy. I don't know if, like, Ninjas is a very competitive list, warband, I should say. So it will be interesting to see if this kind of cuts it, this new profile. But it looks good enough for me anyway. So, like, the fact that it's a ranged kind of base ninja, but can also do pretty well in combat, sounds good. It is another one that brings in distraction, which I think is a great ability, having used it quite a lot with Bakumono and having seen it used against me a few times by the ninjas. It's always good just because it can enable the assassin trait, and it can obviously get surprise in, so that's amazing. But yeah, I think just like the frame bolus with bleed tokens should do quite a bit of damage. It's not got reload, and I think that's what a lot of ninja players struggle with when it comes to range weapons. If they have to start reloading, then it's quite activation intensive. But this one doesn't have to worry about that. And in combat, being able to put out bleed, but I think it can also do poison, if I've got it right. Yep, with unique effect, can put quite a lot of state tokens on. So it seems like if you can get someone to, like, surprise, this model will do a lot of damage. Otherwise, it's doing okay. But I think it will really shine once it gets someone in a surprise state. And it's kind of what you expect from North Star, I guess. It kind of brings a bit more tech to the game. Don't know if Gav, you've got any thoughts on the new ninja, new North Star ninja?
No, nothing to disagree with there. I've certainly picked him up, and we'll give him a try. I certainly agree with you here. The reload bit is important. It looks really nice.
21's a lot, yeah.
I mean, 21 rice, yeah, I'm absolutely. Not sure. That's the problem with ninjas.
I think Tactician's pretty good for ninjas, so they do like to get their strikes in. So that could be good. Yeah. And some of these abilities can obviously be copied by Axiom as well, so there's some interactions there. And I could see that being interesting, something to explore. Seems like an interesting enough profile. Hopefully we'll see a few people go for him and you know, try him out. And I'm a big fan of distraction basically with ninjas, because of, you know, that's the kind of style, isn't it? Enables air assassination. So
yeah, and just to be clear on the Axiom thing, the reason that's good is because he has Tactician 1 innately, and that feat is Tactician plus 1, so he would be Tactician 2, which is why that's specifically kind of,
and you win the tie breaks, so it's like, yeah,
you could come in handy. And it's nice that it's flexible, so you choose that at the start of the game, right, if your opponent's got lots of Tactician.
So it's not one to turn, that's odd.
Which one? The Jinichi the insight. It's not one to turn.
Yeah, model gains plus one Tactician for next roll, for next test. So you can just pump that, I guess.
You could.
That seems, I have to get that clarified on Discord. That seems good. Tactician plus four,
Axiom can copy it. Can he copy like multiple times, or he just has the feat on his card, doesn't he?
No, just once. Yeah. I mean, distraction is good enough to go for as well, I think. But you can do all sorts of shenanigans with those guys. Yeah, okay. Well, that's interesting. Darren, any thoughts on that? I don't expect you'll have much.
No.
Into ninjas, but,
No. The models are very cool. I can tell you that much. I don't think I've seen a model that's bad yet, though. Let's put it that way. I think we're quite happy with the new models.
Definitely.
Yes.
So shall we talk about this new drummer?
Mm.
Yes. Yes.
Has anybody ordered the new drummer?
Yoshitaka. Yeah. I guess I'm probably the only one who plays Shiho out of you guys, and I've not really got much opportunity to play them yet. So I can give it a go. Unless someone has got strong opinions.
Have you ordered the model for your Shiho break? You have. Good.
Yes. Yes. Because I have all the Shiho models. I've only painted the wolves so far. They are next on the list, though.
Cool.
So I think the main challenge with this guy is just figuring out how to get enough ki on him to do his two ki feats. They're both once per game. So that makes them kind of quite, you know, big, powerful, but, you know, you've got to get your timing right. He's only one ki, generation. So, yeah, things like War Wary or Ancestor Spirit, stuff like that, that can get ki on him is good. That's how I sort of see him being played anyway.
Do you mean Risen Sun? Yeah, wait a minute.
That's it. That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Get out of here, Craig.
Yes. Get out of here. You can edit that.
I'll leave that in.
Craig told me that it said on the War Wary card that it's whatever he wanted it to be.
Yeah.
He didn't have a look at it, though.
What, extra key, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
It was really rare, like a Black Lotus. Didn't want anyone to touch it.
Edited with a biro, though. I automatically passed a fear test against sharks.
That's it. Yeah, that's what I did in the last game, yeah. But apparently now it gives you extra key, so...
Yeah,
extra card.
So, what card?
Moving on. it's a new one from the cycle deck you haven't seen yet. Quick March. So I think, yeah, obviously Quick March is fine if you're going to go more with the Ashigaru kind of side of things. But I think Sam the Advance is the one I'm looking at mostly, because I think the Ashigaru have already got ways to get up the table. So you can do the Or key feat from the other samurai guy they've got. So you can make all your models gain fear 6, which on its own is good. But if you combine that with Or, where they've got a fear token, then you've got a great combination there, because a lot of enemy models will basically not be able to engage you for a whole round. So that seems really powerful to me. It is about kind of setting it up right. So you do have to think about, you know, am I going to use Year of the Risen Sun? Am I going to focus? Am I going to do, you know, whatever Ancestor Spirit, other tricks you can figure out to make it work, to make it viable? But it seems like too good a trick not to at least give it a go. Takuya, who's got the Or key feat, which I think is on its own is amazing anyway. It was already amazing before this. Adam's used that on me before, and it just completely crushed my Bakumano line, because like everyone within 6 gets a frightened marker, so suddenly all your Bakumano are kind of defensive and on one less melee dice, which is pretty significant. It's probably going to have a lesser effect if you've got 3 or 4 melee dice models, of course, but still very good. So I can see him synergizing really well with that kind of play. But even on his own, just without that, I mean, putting a fear 6 token on everyone is making everyone gain fear 6 is pretty good. That should hopefully,
it's potentially game winning, isn't it? If you play that at the right time.
With a range, often they've got a lot of bows, haven't they? Got a lot of range, so that's quite nice as well. But it just means like your guys can just get on with either shooting or doing the objective, the scenarios, or picking the fights or whatever it is you want to do, and the enemies just sort of have to stand around. So it's very much dependent on the opposition force. As we know, some factions are super vulnerable to fear, others less so. So it does very much depend on if they've got the tools to deal with it. But yeah, I mean, I can see it being really good. So yeah, he's definitely interesting.
I think he's a really, really good model. You know, but yeah, you've got to build the list with him in mind, right? He's not one that you can just slot in. But I mean, I think, you know, Sound the Advance is kind of the obvious, like, yes, that's powerful. But Quick March, I mean, for scenario play, just to be able to push, you know, a number of Ashigaru up without, you know, having to worry about being a dice down is, you know, that's good. That's really good. If you plan for it, you know, to get that sort of defensive advantage, that zone control at the table is fantastic.
Mobility is something, and that's why it's nice he can do both in the game, but he's going to struggle to get enough key to do it all at a meaningful time. So I think you've kind of got to have your game plan ready.
Well, I definitely think focusing is a very valid thing for him to do whenever he's not doing anything more meaningful, and it brings forward that game changing ability a turn forward. I think it's great, but whether you think he's worth those two key feats is really obviously what you're paying for. So it's like I think he's pretty cool, and I think he has a lot to any army he's in. But yeah, you are right. It kind of like, how quickly can you get the key feats to kind of get the most impact with him soonest? Probably could do it on turn. I guess you could do it on turn two, probably.
But I mean, timing's really important, isn't it? Like, you want to be getting quick march off quite early to be taking a positional advantage, and then sound the advance probably in that key sort of final turn where, you know, if you've got the positional advantage and they're trying to engage you to get you off objectives or out of zones, and then you pop the fear sort of later turn. So it's kind of seems that would be your standard way of doing things, but you could flip it around, keep your opponent guessing. Definitely. March for later.
Seems pretty good.
But yeah, it's because they're both once a game abilities. You know, it really does make you think.
Yeah, that's it. They're both once a game. They're both quite key expensive compared to what he can generate. So I think you've got to kind of commit to one and make the most of it. But they are very powerful. So in that sense, I think he adds quite a lot.
Is he likely?
Be very interesting to see how
he won't, because he's a drummer. I was just thinking about, you know, the standard bearers, they get kind of extra equipment cards, don't they, to give him an extra standard or something. He should get a sheet of music, shouldn't he, that gives him like an extra power that you can buy for him.
Well, yeah, extra key or something.
Or like a little, a one-man mat. He should get one of those harmonicas that's suspended like in front of his mouth. So he can bang his drum and then go...
an extra thing.
Become a one-man band.
Well, there's going to be more musicians coming out soon. I think the Back Mono have got a horn blower coming out soon. So
who's going to be the first one to make like a Bushido band out of all of the different musician models?
The Back Mono have got a drummer and a horn blower.
Monks have the Chomyo playing.
They're doing all right.
Guitar kind of thing. Yeah.
You know, you've got a drummer here.
You've got the
makings
of a little band. You can do it together, haven't we?
I'm sure there's more. I mean, that back model looks
good.
Who's
on vocals, though? That's the real question of this episode, then. Who
is on
vocals?
One of the dogs,
probably. I was thinking, what about the new Glutton? He's got a big mouth. I'm sure he could belt a tune now.
Well, there's a lot of Voice of the Void and whispers. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that's wave five briefly covered. I guess we haven't necessarily played with any of it yet, so we're still
next?
Very much hot takes.
Still our initial impressions, really. So, so we're going to just quickly talk about new starter, then get on to the
new starter. Where are we going first? We got Hazumis or the other ones. Kizumi? Kizumi.
Yeah, so the new starter set's quite different from the previous starter set, which was just three models aside.
Yeah, it's what, five models aside?
Yeah, I think so.
The Kiyozumi family.
So 10 models in total.
Probably butchering the pronunciation. And the Hozumi family.
So you have 10 models in total. And yeah, I mean, they're probably should say they're gorgeous models. I think we're all a fan of the new look. They're going to be in resin, which will be interesting. I mean, so far my experience with GCT resin is pretty positive. I've had a few models now in resin. It's all been good. But yeah, we'll see how they look when they come through. And it's got more than just the models in. It's got cards, tokens, and rule books. So all good stuff. So quite a nice set. And yeah, like you say, you've got two families. The Kiyozumi is the first one. So I can quickly rattle through that just high level if you like. And you guys can jump in if you have any strong
thoughts. Yeah, sounds good. I mean, have had a real quick glance at the profiles. Obviously, the models are fantastic and kind of a bit ago, I didn't pick them up, if I'm honest, but one day, hopefully, I will. But yeah, I'm still not very familiar with the actual profiles themselves. So actually really interested to hear your thoughts.
Well, a bit like you said at the start, all these models will work in other factions and they will also kind of work in their own little Ronin faction as well. Almost a bit like the Brotherhood, where it's kind of like you pick another another faction and they will work within that faction by and large. They usually say work in that. They use the event and train cards available to that faction. So there's quite a lot of playing around you can do with that, or you can split them out and use them individually in certain factions if they've got the right kind of symbol matchup because they're Ronin. Hinadora or Hindori is the Shisai, and she's basically a healer, so she can heal and sort of super heal because she can do it in base to base, but she can also do it through an aura ability, so she can heal six away. And she can also put out another aura, which kind of reduces damage effectively. Your opposition have to roll an additional dice and then choose one dice to remove using the remaining two for the damage roll. So yeah, it's kind of like dampening their damage. So that seems you know, nice if that's what you're after. Sort of dampening damage and healing.
I must admit, I have seen that she does work for Temple Rokan. I'm like, those are two abilities I would really like to see in that faction. So, yeah, already a strong start for me. As well as she can also work for Shiho and Ryu, which I'm sure she goes into well. But personally, that sounds like a brilliant profile.
Yeah, I mean, effectively, it's given weak to people. Though it's got a little bit more control, because I think the way it's worded is you roll an extra dice, then choose one dice to remove. I think you can kind of avoid being critical striked so often. I might be wrong on that, but seems to be kind of weak with a bit more control, so that's good. And it's just whether, you know, she's not cheap, I don't think, for what she does, but she's good at what she does, if that makes sense.
That's the one sting, really, isn't it? 17 rice is quite a lot for a support character that's healing, so and reducing damage, but still quite an interesting profile and an absolutely phenomenal model.
And there aren't any Rokan themes that she'll go into, so if you do take her, you'll be using a Ronin theme.
Fair play.
It's monks or villagers and stuff.
She goes into Shiho as well, which I could kind of see that being quite useful. Shiho don't have like lots of armor, so there might be some good synergies there to explore as well. So I mean, high level though, like she seems like a pretty good healer. And it is a complex to do the reduced damage stuff, but that could be pretty relevant at the right time. Next,
and you can take in a Rokan list. I mean, so you can take Healing Balm, you can take Asuko, you can now take her. So that's like three heals, heal two,
three heals. So all your Kalan and the Rosians can get healed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
there any other sources of heal?
Did you virtue tokens? Have you talked about those? Is it Ico?
Yeah, Ico can heal, can't you? Yeah, the virtues.
So you can heal for days.
Yeah, there's plenty. Yeah. You can.
So I mean, it's good. It's good to hear that you guys are looking at her and thinking could be interesting. I think for Shiho, that's interesting, but they tend to be more on the damage output sides. But yeah, play around with it. See what.
I think for my monks, I know that normally it's the ship damage that gets them, and I think she could help prevent that.
Yeah.
Just by keeping that strength down with that aura. I know it's complex, but. The fact that it is an aura is really cool. It means they can protect multiple monks. So a big investment, if I'm honest. That's the only thing I'd have to weigh up is 17 rice can get you a fully fledged, really good monk. And does she counteract that with her buffing? Quite possibly, but certainly wanted to explore.
Yeah. So the next one, just rolling along, is Kicho. Who's kind of like a really interesting character, actually. So all these models are characters from what I can tell, and they have quite interesting backstories, which we don't know about quite yet, but bits have been shared. This one's obviously, looking at some of the flavor text, is one that was almost turned into a ninja, almost ghost-like, actually, but obviously not fully converted and is now back with the family. So... it's an interesting profile. It's not cheap, again, 16 rice base costs, but some interesting upgrades. And I think generally, this is something that's been mentioned on Discord as well. It feels like because it's a starter set, the base cards are pretty starter set friendly, but then they have kind of upgrade cards to make them a little bit more interesting. And so you get that kind of like double benefit of being viable in a starter set, but also quite cool to use outside the starter set. So so I think this is one of those. So Kicho brings in cheap combo attack, which is always nice, a bit of soulless, always good, and it's got some good key feats that kind of give the proxy ninja feel with lurker and shadow art, so it can get assassin and camouflage. And it's got the ghost thing of not being able to be targeted when you were targeted, the enemies lose sixth sense, so that stops some sixth sense shenanigans getting through your camouflage. And that always seems pretty good, but 16 rice feels like quite a lot, but I think with the upgrade card, that's kind of where she shines a bit more, because effectively it kind of gives her some of the extra ninja abilities. So we can talk about them separately or at the same time. Don't know if you guys have got a preference.
No, let's talk about the upgrade card for her now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, okay. So let me just navigate to it. So her upgrade.
But I agree with you on all of that, Craig. Yep, very good assessment.
Good to hear. So her upgrade card, effectively it allows her to do some typical ninja stuff, which is like at the start of the activation they get to choose something, and hers are she can get an extra activation, I believe it, she kills an enemy model, so that allows you to actually out activate certain oppositions, which is very, very good, and it's not bad offensive model, so it's completely possible that you'll be in that situation. So that's good. I'm just trying to actually find the card rather than do it from memory. I think the other one is intangible as well. It's pretty relevant upgrade to how that model plays.
So did you say what this card was called?
No, I'm just literally trying to find it. I'm just doing it from...
It's called Accepted Into the Shadow.
That's the one. Okay, so let me just quickly...
I just found it in my app. See, I am here and I'm listening. There you go. And I'm doing it.
Yeah, I felt like it.
Might be quiet. You guys, the listeners missed me. I'm still here.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Just doing
the
legwork in the background because Craig can't be bothered. He's just going to talk. Just waffle on.
I was reading it for a bit there. No one noticed.
I'm checking the facts so that you don't have to.
So, yeah, I was.
So that you don't pretend that war weary gives you extra key.
Yeah, exactly. So I've now got this card in front of me on the app. I can correct Craig's shenanigans.
No, it's pretty much that. It's intangible. Yeah. And yeah, if you can win any model, you get an MLA exchange. You'll get an extra activation counter. She's also got the high ability
intangible
as well.
Though wow, and she so good.
You can pick that at the start of each activation, which could be quite a few for this model. If you just keep killing models, then effectively you'll just keep going, which is amazing. So that's great anti-horde tech and great kind of finisher tech as well. So We've seen that with Waku, where he just kind of started to chain kill all these kind of like weaker models at the end of the turn when they were all exhausted with fear tokens and all that kind of stuff. And he was just able to go through one to another. Then she could do that. So that seems pretty good. It is a 2-rice upgrade card, enhancement card, to do all this. So the Kohai thing is where you get the extra abilities of friendly ninjas. So I guess that's more when you're taking her in a ninja warband for everyone else, but relatively cheap for them. That could be interesting. So yeah, it seems like for me anyway, once you put in the put on the extra enhancement card, suddenly that model starts to become real interesting. But yeah, I don't know, Gav, if you've got any more thoughts, because you're sort of ninja player.
Yeah, I think that everything you said is true. I don't have anything extra to add. Yeah, nice model, interesting profile. Definitely need to wait for some new ninja themes to come out, I think, before I would look at including it competitively. But it's going to be quite a while before I get hold of the model, because I missed the pre-order.
Moving on then. Kiyozumi Sadaka, who I think actually is quite an interesting profile. 15 rice samurai, comes with a lot of the sort of things you'd expect a samurai to have. So with her, I think she's just interesting because she can do psychic drain in two factions that can also have psychic drain models.
What's this called? I need to look up the card.
So Sadaka.
Sadaka, yeah.
Yeah, Kiyozumi Sadaka. Mm-hmm. So she's a samurai, but she's kind of a support model at the same time. She do psychic drain. So she's Ito-esque because she's got only 5 wounds, but movement 5. So Ito have already got psychic drain in their roster. So do Savage Wave, and she can go into both of those. So double psychic drain sounds pretty horrible. Mm-hmm. And she can also bring Shroud. And Shroud... it's a new ability we've not seen before, a new key feat, which can make basically can kind of hide your models from line of sight of the enemy. So that is, in my mind, just like a great enabler for Shadow Walk. Mm. So when I look at that, I sort of think, yeah, back mono could make the most
so
of that.
So you could potentially go up to 8 inches of line of sight blocking.
She had enough key. I mean, there are ways of getting extra key and stuff, but I think even with a few inches of line of sight blocking, that's enough to enable some easy shadow walks up the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you need to start out of line of sight, or you need to remain out of line of sight for shadow walk?
You need to start out of line of sight, and then you can shadow walk away. So that's enough, really, to pique my interest.
It is a complex,
I think, like, fairly reliable combatant. Mm. But she has got movement 5, so she can move and do that. She can move and do that. So she can move up the table and do that if you want. And because it's an active feat, Shadow Walk, it's quite forgiving. So I could kind of see that being, pretty relevant. If you're going to break theme, though, that's the big question. Because, back when I do like their themes. But yeah, I could see that being useful. I mean, even in Ito, I could see that being useful just because, you know, you never want your guys being shot at from range. So it seems relevant. So yeah, first take, I think, looks good. Again, bit pricey at 15 rice, but yeah, I could see that being used.
See, well, I actually kind of disagree with 15 rice being expensive for her, just because I think 15 rice for a model with that profile, for me, sounds about right. And then she's actually got some pretty good abilities. So I think she's quite good, actually, for her price. It's nice to even see she's got Steadfast as well, which always a ability that's handy to have in a warband in case you do come up with those terrifying models that you just otherwise can't get into. But, you know, for a, like Craig was saying, more of a support character, actually, she's free melee. Okay, she can't boost, sadly, but she does have that prowess.
Still got prowess. Yeah,
exactly. So she's pretty competent still in a fight. Looks like a really good profile to me. Does more than I would expect.
I think, yeah, I mean, immune control is always nice to have, but, you know, it's not something you kind of want to necessarily be splurging extra rice on. But, yeah, I mean, push defense zero is nice. It's got reach as well. So, you know, a decently defensive profile that can just say, nope, I don't want to engage you. I mean, psychic drain's always nice, even if, you know, you're not making use of the key yourself, just to, you know, take it away from the air. I always hate psychic drain if I'm on the opposing side, because you've always got a plan. Well, I mean, generally, if you're playing Bushido to win, like, you know, kind of how to optimize your key. So you have to plan around, like, you know, this is what I will use it for in an ideal situation. Somebody comes along and starts psychic draining you, ruins your game plan, right? It's quite devastating.
I guess.
So yeah, no, I think it's definitely very.
Like, maybe this fight is only having that two key and nothing to help her other than boosting, which is the only thing she can boost, to be fair. But it just means that getting the psychic drain off is going to be a bit hit or miss. But for one key and a simple, I'd probably give it a go.
Yeah.
Every time it works, it's going to be worth it.
I suppose, I mean, if you get an early psychic drain off, then you've got, you know, a bit more key to boost your second attempt.
That's very true.
No.
Yeah, that's a weird one, actually. I thought psychic drain was once a turn.
I almost wish that someone could get the key off of her. Maybe there's a car for that Craig will tell us about. I guess possibly in Ito you can just do some key movement anyway.
Yeah, psychic drain is normally once.
Well, like, so she can drain it off enemy and then channel it.
Yeah, that's, you know, because she hasn't got a massive use for that key other than for Shroud herself.
Well, but then Craig's just been waxing lyrical about how useful Shroud is. And
to be fair, if you come up against shooting army and you can make a massive aura Shroud, then you'll be pretty happy. So, yeah, could be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Again, really good model. I honestly think they've knocked it out of the park with both starter sets, actually. It's probably the thing I am most gutted about by not picking one up is that the models are really, really good looking.
Yes.
They are beautiful, but they're kind of I really like Bushido for the fantastical elements and the kind of the slightly I don't know. I love these models from the starter set in a slightly different way to the way that I love, like, the Void Monks, right? The Void Monks I find really exciting, and whereas the starter set models I find more comforting, if that makes sense. They're like almost like character studies, right? And they'll be kind of nice and
I think I see what you mean. They did like they're
a bit of a meditation to paint.
If I do you mean also about, like, how there's obviously the sort of more sorcerer side of them in both families, and there's the the monster, well, whatever you want to call that, fox monster? or whatever. But
if you were to take out, Roekin, if you take out the wolf and you take out the spellcasters, and they're all almost quite simple, realistic, sort of grounded real world sculpts, right? Like villagers, kind of, actual. They're not necessarily fantastic.
I guess, I see what you mean. I definitely see that.
So, but there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I think I have different moods for I'd happily sit and paint a load of villagers for a scenario or something, which aren't not exciting combat models. But, you just get a different vibe from painting them up, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're appealed to different tastes. I mean, there is the wolf yokai thing, and there's some clear magic stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But there's also some more kind of, kind of more character driven sort of elements. Sadaka
well,
might
he
be half snake.
Five, so, and I'm not seeing any legs. So.
Yeah.
But she's an interesting model.
There's a reason she works with Ito. I have to check that as we were talking. There's two things I need to check after this. Psychic Drain, I'm pretty sure, should be once a turn, but I will check to see if she's got something different going on. I don't see the icon. Moving on. Hiboku, if I've got that right. So this is kind of like another samurai. These are samurai families or clans. And very deep, good source of tactician and a ranged attack. That's what stands out to me. Reload 2 certainly kind of limits what you can do with the range. And the low melee profile as well. I think this character is meant to be kind of like was in the prime, a very competent fighter, but is now kind of towards sort of the end of their kind of sort of military service or whatever, so
their useful life but still, combat.
But still very knowledgeable and a skilled fighter, if you like. So I think that's what they're trying to capture here. And it's got some interesting abilities. Nukido is something that we didn't see with Shiho, I believe. So it just sort of makes more resilient for one turn, which is good. We've only got 2 melee dice, just means you can survive a bit longer. And coin, which can help you by giving out a bit of extra ki to non-kami ronin, and can also help with a bit of bodyguard in return. So I think that's pretty cool. Can go into Silver Moon and Minamoto. I would hazard a guess that Silver Moon players will probably see more value out of this profile, just because that's something they they can make the most of. I think Minamoto kind of have their distinct play style. Not quite sure what he.
Well, I'm guessing the long range shots. Minamoto don't have at the moment, even though they do have a lot of really good shooting. Is it actually usual for that bow to have reload 2? Because that seems quite high.
No, that's what I mean. That is a high reload value, which means he's probably a one-shot kind of model. So you just want to make sure that counts.
Yeah.
I think he's just very rice efficient.
Yeah, I think he's well worth 10 rice, even for Minamoto. Just he's a cheap body for 10 rice. He's still sort of plays into their style. He's quite difficult to take out, not because he's covered in armor, but Nukido for 1 ki is plus 1 melee dodge,
that's
plus
really
1
good, to be
is
honest.
Nice.
He's basically, you're gonna have to with attack Paris him melee basically as well, twice a turn to get rid of him. It feels like
And for 10 rice, that's handy, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I think he's good. And I just think Silver Moon players might just value what he brings more, is all. But yeah, you're right. Maybe it's his low rice costs that will appeal to Minamoto players.
Yeah, you just want him for your Silver Moon because he's throwing out coin all over the place.
Well, once you break Fiend to bring him in, it's likely that you might have other Ronin models. So I think that is something to think about. Bodyguard's obviously very good. It's a good movement trick.
That's a strange one, coin, isn't it? Because it's 3 key to use it. So, yeah. I mean, are you doing it to get the extra key? Like, is it like a kind of poor man's channel that you're just sort of spreading your key out to other models? Or are you assuming that you're going to have more than 3 models in the 6-inch aura, so you're actually gaining key from the feet? And bodyguard, is that is that the intent of the feat that you want bodyguard on you?
I think it really depends. Like, some Bronin just sort of shy a key, and again, it depends a lot on your build, what you can plan ahead for, I think, and see if that's really worth it or not. I think even if you didn't use any of these abilities, he would be fine.
Yeah, I mean, still nice. Two shots with his bow over the course of a game and a defensive roadblock is nice for 10 rice, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, he's looking good. On to the next one. Kemina. So really interesting profile. I think they bring not perhaps too much about the upgrades, so I'll get on to the upgrades of this one. Got all very relevant, well, it's got 3 very relevant keywords: Ashikaru, Shaitei, and Kaizoku. So like, there's lots of interactions whenever you put this model into another list, so it's going to be very interesting to see what people do with it. Unusual thing about the stats is a key cap of 4, so it's key statistic of 1-4, so it can only hold up to 4, but there is a reason why. Other than that, bit of extra armor, fortune's always good. It's got an unusual and new key feat, so your opposition can spend a key to give it to this model, or it can get an extra activation, not in base to base once a turn. So that's good. At the very least, you should be gaining an extra key per turn through that ability, and potentially an extra activation. So that's pretty good. I think where this model really shines is with the upgrade card. So I think it's called Professionalism. So I'll just try and find it. And it means that if you have all your, if you're at your maximum key stat, you gain Fearless and tough. I think that's what you get with that. So that's really good. So if you get up to your 4 key stat, you suddenly become quite a reliable model. With armor 2 and tough, that's good. You can defend yourself relatively well, and Fearless definitely helps with your 1 key stat. So that's really good as well. So suddenly it becomes a way more interesting model, particularly if you can make the most of all the additional benefits that you can get out of the keywords, which I think that's the other part of the trick with this one. It's like, how do you make the most of those keywords and get all the right synergies going? So there's probably a good use case for that model in a number of different lists, I suspect.
I can't find the upgrade card. What's it called? Professionalism.
Professional.
I can't see that either. Where would it be? I think it's another Craig special.
It is in the back. Yeah.
Is it? It's not. Well, I'm looking in the app and I can't find it.
It's in the app. No, it's definitely in the app. I've just found it. So, yeah.
Under Ronin, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's because it says not found card professional in the top ribbon. It wasn't showing. Yeah. Right. So Fearless and tough 1. Yeah. Okay. So I was listening to you talk about it, but I need to look at these things as well. So would you? I mean, yeah. Fearless is nice. Tough 1 is nice. Would you want to be keeping her just maxed out with key then?
Yeah, pretty much. I think as long as they've got like the max key, and like obviously you don't always need that, but it should be on pretty high key with fortune, yeah. And the ability to gain an extra key a turn should be sort of just
I think
fine
the fearless to, is actually yeah, to, the thing to that, stay on that as key a amount. Jungle player would probably get me excited about her because yeah. That's sometimes a problem. Bit niche though, if I'm honest, other than that.
Yeah, I think she's a more interesting profile to me than the other guy that we were talking about for 12 Rise. The actual German, Kaizoki. I'd be more inclined to give her a go. I like how, you know, armor 2 and tough, and you know, the chance of the extra activation or, you know, stripping key from enemy.
Sounds like we need a mirror match with these two in, and we'll find out.
The other thing.
Yeah, we do.
The other thing that goes with that profile, though, only if you are using the actual Kiyozumi family theme, you've got an event which each time that model succeeds in their attack or defense, you gain one scenario point.
Oh, wow. Okay, oh. That's a lot more
exciting. That's pretty cool. So we'll get onto their theme in a sec, but yeah, that's quite good. And it does have another thing that the Koga, who fights for Hozumi, whenever he does not succeed in an attack or defense, gain one scenario point as well. And that lasts for the whole game. So that's a pretty interesting dynamic there, but that's very niche, I guess, unless you're, you know, playing just in the confines of a start set.
Before we move on from good. Ken Mina, it's not Ken, is it? Is
not
Ken short for Ken Mina?
It's not Ken. I thought that as well. It's obviously
is it Ken's sister?
A teaser.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to say that is probably my favourite model in the starter set. I love that one.
It's an interesting profile, a nice model, yeah. So the Kiyozumi theme is before the first turn. Well, but I won't read out. Basically, you can change the alignment of one objective, which could be huge if you're playing like Byoku. I'm picturing that, but basically, if you're certain scenarios where like you can just change like the alignment of a scenario objective like right next to your guys to enemy, and then just start like preying on it, like that's amazing. You'd have to walk all the way across the table; it's right there in front of you, and it's very hard for your opposition to do much about that because you know you're not going to change it back. So that's really good. Or you can count models as two models when calculating zones until the first point scored or until you score a point. So that's good as well. So if it's all about zones, and they're good in that. And you can always have the family members in their theme, which makes sense. And then you can have run-in models. So effectively what you do is, like I said at the start, you'd choose a faction and then you would use their event cards and train. And then you would include the family effectively, and you can use running models associated with that faction as well. So a lot of flexibility in what you can do, which again is a good call for a starter set because it means you can then branch off into another faction and you can start collecting all the running models that you fancy within that faction as well, or multiple factions if you want to dabble in.
Yeah,
which
I think is a good shout out.
So
it
gives you a lot of flexibility
for experienced Bushido players, but you know, the fact that it is two running factions, I think, has that really wide appeal. I think we've all realised that we have about as many running as a actual standard faction has. I think it's quite a good move to get a bit of something for everyone rather than.
It's very similar in feel to the Blood Brothers and the Princesses that.
Yep.
And I remember coming into the game and kind of being a bit confused by them. It's like they kind of seem like little sub factions in their own right, but they sit in the Ronin and you're trying to learn about all of the factions in there and then the different play styles that sit within them. And you've got these little kind of little nodes of individual like little war bands you can put together, you know, the Imperial March and a little bit of variety, but not too much. It seems like, yeah, there's just another couple of those that just add those little pops of flavour to the game, which is just lovely. And you don't have to pick them up, but, you know, it's nice to.
You get some mileage out of that because you can play it as a self-contained force, and but then you can dabble with, like, you know, lots of other different sort of event cars and terrain, or you can say, you know, where do they fit in to existence. So I think that's, like, you know, trying to appease the established gamer base and the, you know, being a good starter set, you know, for normally aimed at a you know, an intro level. So it's trying to give you good options on both sides, so on both fronts. So that's cool. So shall I give you a quick run?
Okay, go for it.
So yeah, so just going on with the Hozumi. So start with Koga, who is their young samurai guy, and he just looks like a very competent profile. 16 rice is kind of, you know, where you'd expect a good samurai to be, I suppose. So he's got some armor, got some bravery, got some prowess melee, comes with a bow as well, so he's a sort of good all-round model. It's got a bit of damage reduction potentially from his armor as well, so yeah, seems pretty solid. Interestingly, can go into Dissension or Temple of Rokan, so for those factions, an interesting samurai. So given that you guys play those factions, is that kind of profile that you would pick up?
Dissension, Darren.
Yeah, I mean, he has a long range bow, is quite a standout factor for, I think, both of those factions. Really don't have long range shooting generally. So even though, apart from Bazen bow, yeah,
that's true.
You often will get the Sister Wood bow going into Dissension. There's definitely options, true. But you know, he has a solid bow, he's a good guy in combat. I don't think his ancestral armor is all that great, but it's still nice to have. I suppose it is a, what, 1 in 6 chance of it triggering? So,
One faction mentioned, he's got prowess melee and range, so he is slightly better at that bow than...
Because he's got push attack, definitely feels like he's... more on the side of getting people off of him and shooting them. So I think he's a nice addition. I think he possibly adds more to Rokan in the sense of that long range shooting. I'm already starting to think, okay, so that could go with, if I give him far 1/2, I believe that will affect his bow as well. I'm thinking about the Ico's virtue tokens, basically, like or far, Kami Afar or something. Like, what could I do to sort of boost him up a bit? He probably has more play in that regards.
Far, I don't know about the virtue tokens, but the Far Kami definitely could synergize. They normally buff,
you know,
friendly models.
I think certainly really interesting for Rokan. I mean, I generally will play a Bastion's list, so you're kind of looking at, you know, the linchpins of that list are your 14 rice cowers. So, you know, would you drop a cower at 14 rice to put this 16 rice model in? And I think, I don't know, it's certainly useful. I will give it a go, definitely. I mean, it's difficult. I kind of refine the Bastion's list quite well, so I don't know if you wouldn't take a Bastion's list, would you? You'd mix it up a lot more, monks and peasants and stuff, so I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure what the optimal Rokan list is going to be, like themeless list it's going to be, isn't it?
I think the interesting thing is this box for you offers two models that can one where yeah, that goes directly does, into Bastions of the Mountain. So it gives you kind of options there for your different builds that you want to do. So you can kind of try something different.
I mean, it's definitely an awful lot to think about and experiment with and look at. I mean, the samurai we were just looking at is really interesting because it brings something a bit different, that long range shooting and, you know, the armor that you don't tend to get.
Cool. So the other thing that will come a bit more apparent is that he can be buffed a bit by the rest of them, but we'll go on to that. So Hozumi Maha is a Shugenja that works for them, and will also go into Void and Cult. Kinshi Temple. We'll go into.
Is it Kinshi Temple or Chinshi?
Well, Temple. I think it's Kinshi Temple, but could be wrong. it's an interesting kind of support model, clearly, and can bring a bay, which is effectively dishing out control markers. Has a way to fuel a bay as well through these ghost tokens, and can also absorb some damage through the ghost tokens, which is cool. So that's kind of representing the ghost floating around the model, and can also kind of do this effect where pulse effect to take key off other models in the pulse. It's all models in the pulse, and they then suffer a wound, which is interesting. So can do some area damage as well. It's a pretty cool model. Can see it being useful just because it's another model that can
doesn't appear to me there's any way of replenishing or increasing ghost tokens, right? You start with three.
There is a card that allows you to do it. Bargains made or kept is a way to do it. So, which I think is a brilliant card because it's obviously a bargain made with Yure, and that allows you to effectively get more ghost tokens when non-Solidus models die close to that model. So it's a pretty thematic card, and it also enables you to top up your ghost tokens, so that's cool. So I think that's worth a look, but I think just as he comes, I think I could see Yure making use of this model. I think Void Monks, we'll get onto those guys. I think they quite like their theme, or will do to start with, but it's good to have options, so offer something there. It seems fairly rice efficient at 14 rice, and I think I can see this model seeing the table. If you found the card,
it was called. I've lost it again now. Plans made, bargains kept. Yeah. So when a non-soulless model within 4 inches of the attached model is killed, the attached model gains a ghost token. So it's quite tough to get ghost tokens. You know, it's not like a really quick, reliable thing. But there's no limit, is there, to the number you can have?
That doesn't seem to be. I mean, it's just when non-soulless models kill both sides, I guess, as well. So that's not bad. I mean, in my mind, at the very least, it should just be helping you fuel your obey, so that you're getting that off once a turn at least.
It's great to have the ghost as a shield in case you do get attacked, because he has only got 5 health. But on the other hand, if you're using it to compensate for key, then actually get into user bay and then boost your key stat, that could be pretty good. It's a lot of effort put in. It's 6 key in total, but at least with those 3 dice, you're more likely to win the opposed key test. Because I think that's the only thing that stands out to me is that as a he doesn't have anything to really help him with that obey, which is fine.
True. Yeah, I think I'd rather cast obey twice.
You know, against different targets, one will be better than the other. But I guess it's the fact is that it's three keys a lot for obey, and you really want it to get off when you can. So, interestingly, if you did, if you did actually go
Ghost Fire also is
void. I actually think there is a bit of interaction that will help you with that, but that's for another talk.
Yeah, I was about to say Ghost Fire does help you the wounds caused by this effect ignore tough and all the rest, blah blah. But there it says at the end, X is the radius, basically the pulse is equal to the number of ghost tokens on the model. So the more you kind of more ghost tokens you can get, the better your Ghost Fire. So that is worth keeping an eye on. And
There is a possibility
that
you could get a massive kind of power bank going on there. You know, if you manage to kind of nuke a few models and get and I wonder if there is a way of buying your own sort of cheap models and building a list around to generate as many ghosts as you can and then sucking up the key.
Two lanes.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's why I do wacky.
Same kind of idea.
Enlist Iron Swordsman. Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. The endless Dying Swordsman that could then fuel Waku and Ghost Fire. But yeah, once you do your Ghost Fire pulse, that could potentially fuel your obey, and yeah, it could be quite effective. I mean, it seems to offer a fair amount. I actually think that people try to damage this model to reduce its Ghost Fire to stop it being so effective. But it's definitely like one I can see being used. So next on the list is Dai Hanji. Open to any offers on
Dai Hanji sounds about right.
So another samurai. Very interestingly, very high boost value on this one. So again, maybe a model that's quite competent, but maybe not in the prime. It's very interesting because it's got a lot of interactions with having villagers and other Hozumi models for its encourage feat, which is it's kind of like a inspire or similar effect. So you can boost one of your other models up through that. Reputation is quite good. It can put a stun marker if something tries to get into base to base with the model. So that's quite good. It reminds me of Q, his ability. So not bad. He's got this upgrade, I think it's called Man of the People, where it can go into the Bastions of the Mountain. So like we were saying, it's sort of an interesting one for you, Gav, whether you think this is a sort of model that you would go for. I think it gives him leadership as well. And it's all works, I guess, with his encourage ability to buff all the villagers.
I think 13 rice in a bastion's list is it's a lot. You're generally kind of looking at replacing sort of two models because you don't want to drop anything like something single that's in his kind of price range.
Yeah, so it's going to be 15 with the upgrade as well. So that is basically, it's challenging the current erosion.
I want to have a look at that upgrade card. Man of the People, you said it's called, yeah?
Would you do go for it? Yeah, Man of the People. So it gives him leadership for villagers and peasants. So that's good. And
I really like the model. He is great.
Yeah, it just allows him to be recruited into the theme, which is good. So he won't break your theme, and he is a decent source of a reliable fighter. Encourage could be quite good. I know you've got some nasty range options, so that that always seem to sting. And I think he can do it on the range pool all melee, so that's pretty good. To the end phase, you could boost one of your when your guys. So I'm sure there's some good synergies and stacking that can go on with that.
Yeah. The obvious one would be Hisao, who has the same thing. It's called not encourage.
Inspire.
So this one has, inspire. Yeah. It's just different feats. I'm assuming it would stack. So if you had both of them in the list, you could be adding, +2 to, something. Maybe with, that bow person we were talking about, although that wouldn't go into a Bastion's list, would it? But would go into a Rokan list, so...
No, but in...
But then wouldn't go into Bastion, so you couldn't take them in the same.
And within the start set. Yeah, but in the start set... In the start set context, so that works as well, though. So that's a good shout. And I was going to say, so the next model is a peasant villager, Taiyo, and interesting profile, quite expensive to start with at 11 rice. Other than that, very basic kind of poor profile in general, but comes with some very good abilities. So supplies allows you to effectively kind of play around with reload and ammo tokens to your advantage. So I can imagine that Koga, the archer guy, would be pretty much the focal point for the starter set, because you've got your encourage ability, and then you've got this guy as well. So you could get four dice on the range, rerolling one of them with the power S range, and then get rid of his reload marker, so that he can keep shooting twice a turn. So that could be pretty effective with a long range weapon. So that seems to be the focal point anyway. The other cool thing he brings in is he reduces the rice costs of enhancement equipment by one. And I think that's something that you have to play around with. There are some pretty good rolling cards in that bracket. And probably for... I'm not so sure about Shiho and Temple, what they've got there, but there's probably some things you can look at. I would suspect that would be good, maybe even more coming down the line. Who knows what the next cycle deck will have. So I think that helps a lot, because his rice cost seems kind of high, even though that's a very good ability, that supplies ability. His rice cost does seem kind of high. But I guess if you're getting other stuff on the cheap, then you can easily sort of say, that's discounted, and actually, he's basically saved you a load of points, so it's actually quite cheap.
He definitely feels like he's there to reload a bow, and classically, obviously, Koga, but with being able to be in Shiho as well, he'll be doing something very similar with a full, long range bow. Whether he's worth 11 rice, so that's the question, I guess, that. Constantly getting that shot off from a bow arm model is pretty powerful, but you are putting quite a substantial investment into it.
Very, very much so. So, Gav, what about you? Because you're sort of the temple player. Does that look...
Sorry,
like
I was muted.
Something
kept,
that you'd be
I
taking?
I kept piping up, but had the mute on.
Yeah, also, the temple player.
I was wondering where you'd chip in.
I actually play with monks.
Sorry.
Well,
sorry, I was muted, but I kept piping up to say things, but I've been muted for ages. I had so much to say. I like him, and definitely I agree. What's interesting is, the the economics of what you're going to save on your equipment cards that you're going to bring. I mean, the first person that I thought about in terms of supplies was my man with the sling, Akiro. Because I've used him a lot in the Bastion's list.
He's a pain.
I always get a lot of mileage out of his sling. So if you've got another way of, letting him shoot more often, then great.
I mean, it definitely feels like if you're going down that route, then yeah, having a bow with a Far Kami shooting twice a turn, that could actually be pretty good, where you then built up a quite reasonable strength bow at plus two damage, and Far, I think it's what, 1/1? I'm thinking the bow guy, if you're breaking out of bass, yeah. If you're not doing Villager's thing, range I think options. Koga mm-hmm. would be good. Yeah.
Well, this guy can go into Bastions.
But then a lot of the upgrades you're taking there, the one rice traps and stuff. I'm not sure what else is kind of a real staple of a Bastion's list.
It is classic Bastion, so, or, you know, Villager's kind of gameplay, lots of buffs on models and kind of improving their efficiency. So he's just another way.
It definitely makes his points more palatable if you've saved some stuff. It means that he's actually coming down at like 10, 9, 8 rice, depending on what you can save.
Yeah. I think you want to save a bit just to make him a bit more. I mean, it's a hard one, the cost really, isn't he? Because you could save an awful lot if you start designing a list around it. And I think that's where you'd have to probably sit down and really go through what are the options and how can I maximize the value out of that without kind of getting to the point where you just buy.
There's no way in the world, I mean, looking at him for 11 rice, no chance would I take him for 11 rice in a Bastion's list. And in my standard Bastion's lists, that with the upgrades that I take, I wouldn't be saving enough rice to make him cheap enough to justify me putting him into the list. But it might be that I can look at some cards that I don't normally consider taking as upgrades that suddenly it all slots into place and goes, there is a way of it being efficient enough for him to go in.
To be honest, that's why I reckon...
I'm not really seeing it.
I actually think him and Koga are together into standard temple, like themeless temple, would be a really good option, I think. I think you can get a lot of far on him. I think you can get a lot out of his bow, basically. Add a lot of range attacks that you wouldn't normally get. Personally, I think you need someone who's really competent, like Koga, to really make the use out of a model that's that expensive. But, you know, that's, in theory, be quite interesting to see what he does on the table.
Mm-hmm. So we're on to the 10th model now, so that's powerful, yes. So Ryokan, who we mentioned earlier, is a Pokemon yokai, incredibly fast.
It's like Okami.
Incredibly fast.
Reminds me of from the video game Okami.
Okay, I don't know
similar.
Aesthetic. Similar kind of look. Yeah, okay. I think it looks really cool. Super fast movement 7. So there's got to be some cool stuff you can do with that at the very least. And some interesting attacks. I think Sixth Sense is always good as well, and a bit of dodge just helps keep it alive. The one thing that worries me a little bit is a large model, so it's only, and it's only got 5 wounds, so it feels a little bit vulnerable to ranged attacks. Other than that, though, I think it's pretty cool. 13 rice is not too bad. It can go into quite a few different factions. Dissension, Temple of Rokan, Yurei and Savage Wave. So for me, it's quite an interesting one because it's a yokai that can go into to my faction. So I will be giving that a look. It can also get or does also have coordinated attack Hozumi, so it can get it's a little bit better in the start sets, a bit more synergy. So, but I think it's basically a speedster. It's very very fast. It just can't do objectives because it's aloof. So got to bear that in mind. It can't do the interactions, but I'm sure with that amount of speed, you can do some powerful things in terms of, you know, attacking the back lines and things like that.
You need to talk about the upgrade cards that are specific to it. You've got Bright Nurture and Dark Nurture, which are 2 rice each. And they are, you can only take one depending on which faction you're taking him in. So Bright Nurture, if you're taking him with Rokan or Dissension, you give him a place in the starting phase. He gets a 1-inch place in the starting phase, so like Queen of the Waves kind of thing specific to him. So that's quite nice. Makes him more mobile. And the one, if you take him with Savage Wave or Cult, Dark Nurture, he gains Fear 5. And when he makes a melee damage roll, he can mark X wounds up to its current unmarked wound boxes. And if it does, its model, its bite gains plus X weapon strength. So he can hurt himself to power up his bite.
Because that'll be instant speed. So by that point, I think you know that you've made a hit and you're just kind of trading.
When you make the damage roll, you may mark. Yeah, so you decide when you make the roll. So it's very nice.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, it's kind of...
He's only got five wounds.
Probably not.
Yeah,
probably not a great trade. Yeah, but if you really need to finish the model, that side,
I like the light one is fantastic in my opinion. He's on a big base, going to get tons of mobility on a model that's already got a lot of mobility. I really like that. I mean, I can see Dark Nature Nurture even might be really good, but it's a tough one on a model like that for me.
I think it's one of those ones. I think the Fear 5, I mean, you don't have to go for it, of course, but I think the Fear 5 is worth it, just because it helps you against fear and it helps, you know, you when you go into models. And making people defensive when you've not got many wounds is always useful. But at Fear 5, it's only, you know, it's more of a threat to key one models and, you know, than your sort of your key two.
I guess for me,
that extra bit of damage, though, is just helpful. And, you know, the other situation where you really just need to plow through some damage and it doesn't matter, then it's good to have the option. So, you know, and it is classic kind of Ure kind of play as well to trade wounds for benefit.
What were you saying, Darren?
I think for me, I definitely like the idea of the place on a model that's that fast. I think... You are right. I totally agree about the being large makes it quite vulnerable to be shot up. I think with the light-footed and the player place terrain, hopefully you can put some terrain that will help you a lot with that to get cover as you get board.
Does make the place even better.
Is there a rule that stops you giving it upgrades because it's an animal or something?
I think, animals can't have upgrades.
Well, I
can't give it like
animals
rash
can't, but I'm assuming that. No, I'm assuming that the upgrades, because they say it's for the animal, I think that overrides.
I think so.
Yeah, but you can't give it up and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, the hypnotic gaze, what do we reckon about that? Stun attack zero could be useful, I guess. Has to get really close to do the stare off, unfortunately. I thought that was going to be like a ranged attack, but sadly, just a different missile.
Stun's pretty good, but it doesn't stop the opposition attack going through. So I guess that's the bit. But yeah, I mean, you literally just have to win by zero and then you'd... then you get the stun in. So I guess just if you want to set something up for later on in the turn, then it's useful.
Where's the range on hypnotic gaze? I'm not understanding.
No, so it's a melee. Yeah,
it's a melee attack.
It's melee.
I would have thought it would be a ranged attack, basically. Yeah. So it's not.
No, it doesn't do any damage. It just basically stuns people, and which
how
is
do you
fine.
Know that it's melee? I think where does
it's
it
got
say?
The swords.
It's got the swords.
Oh, right, okay.
Symbols, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's an interesting pro. I think the speed is the thing that really stands out for me.
I actually personally think this is one that works best in the theme, or at least if you use it with other models that can gain... it is just a theme, because that's the only time it gains coordinate attack, and I think that's... Personally, when I think it's going to be really good, because that mobility to go after the right model and then get the coordinated attack to get the dice pool up to be really quite threatening, I think that's pretty good.
Sixth sense is also good, though, and with that speed, like, you know, imagine going into ninjas and just being able to melee them from 7 inches away. That's pretty good. That's going to help you break any kind of...
Do you think it's a good enough combatant to go into them, though? Is it a bit like you're putting someone in who's...
Into some of their profiles. It's a fair point. In some of the profiles, it clearly wouldn't go into like a Rin or a Katsumi, but if you're going into some of the more kind of slightly more supporty or range based profiles, then your dodge hopefully will keep you around long enough. It is a bit risky, though. I think you can take a risk on the 13 Rice model. It's got some value there, I think, because of Sixth Sense, you know, keeping eyes on back mono, things like that. I think that's kind of where you might see an extra, you know, use case for it. Just going on to the family theme. So this is another good theme, I think. So at the beginning of the game, your friendly models get an extra key token. And this is all friendly models as well, which is pretty cool. So that is Year of the Risen Sun, but without the
downside of the opposition
key.
Like callbacks earlier in the show. Yeah. I'm here all week.
This is a problem about doing recording all
three
is
a magic number.
I will not.
Don't worry,
edit that
down
out.
Down the other thing it allows you to do is basically recruit all the models that come in the box. Also, in the starting phase, you can get one enemy model to get aloof. So that's quite good, I think, because you've got one aloof model in a very small set, effectively. So being able to make one of their models gain aloof is quite handy.
Usually you can see when you know, your opponent is setting up for, you know, turning an idol or something, and what model they're going to try and do it with.
Their scenario runner, you just go, nope. So, and it kind of counters the other household, unsurprisingly.
But I'm thinking not even, you know,
design.
Just in general play, that is such a powerful ability. And playing against it, you know, you need to, like, say, like, double up, right, on your scenario runners. That's not easy to do.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, you definitely, and it's just every turn, just do it. So yeah, it seems,
and it doesn't,
it seems
there's,
really
there's
good.
No way of removing it either. It's not like kill a model and you get rid of that. They've got that for the whole game.
Well, you gain aloof, so yeah, I think you're pretty much stuck with it at that point. The other thing is you can choose a friendly model to gain coordinated attack, and with Hozumi, so you can get more coordinated attack. So that's neat. Can help your guys out a bit there. So another decent faction theme that's very flexible. So yeah, so lots to digest there. We've really just skimmed the surface on those, and there are plenty of other cards and things that go along with them that we've just kind of like selectively mentioned. But there are other special cards that can be taken with the set. I think the other option is you can just take the two lovers from the different families together as well into various themes, factions as well. So you can also do that. So there's plenty of cool things you can do. So it's a very flexible set. You can kind of mix and match it in various different ways. So I think they've done a good job of trying to make sure that, you know, everyone gets something out of this box set, and, you know, hopefully enough to make you want to, you know, delve into it.
Definitely. I'm excited to do so. So does the set have like narrative scenarios in it that sort of takes you through the story? Because that would be great, wouldn't it?
I don't know. That is classic starter set stuff. I don't know whether they've got that in there. It does have.
I'm sure if it doesn't, then somebody in the fan community will write some scenarios.
You'll write something. It does feel like you could do that. It looks like a great set, and like I said, we will definitely circle back on that and go into a bit more detail. Yeah. I think that's just like initial.
I mean,
takes
what would be
it.
Great is if there is a narrative sort of campaign set of scenarios that we could play through it and talk through the games that we play. It'd be nice.
Yeah, sounds good. But they are meant to be working on campaign book as well, so, you know, stuff like that hopefully will be coming down the line. So moving on. John, let's wrap it up.
So I think that's all we have time for today. There's so much content, we didn't even get onto everything we had planned. I hope you really enjoyed our hot takes, and there's certainly that, and we're really looking forward to seeing how these models play on the table and seeing some more interactions and feedback from the community on how they perform. So for now, we shall say goodbye, and hopefully we'll be back soon. So yeah, thanks for listening. Excellent.
But yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.